Worrell eventually became the first black man and first professional to lead the West Indies in 1960. He was 36. It was to prove a significant appointment. His 30-year-old rival, Richie Beno, had already led Australia to a decisive 4-0 win over England and was being hailed as one of the game's shrewdest tacticians.
Frank Worrell was the first man, in my opinion, able to weld them into a great combination. They're always great players, but he welded them in 1960-61 into a great combination, and not just on the field, but off the field as well. He was a great man, and I think it was a loss to their cricket that he wasn't able to keep going for another 10 years. But the series itself was full of memories. The tour up to the start of the first Test match had been a bit of a disaster for the West Indies. They hadn't done very well in Perth. They'd come across in cold weather to Adelaide. We'd beaten them in Sydney. They'd gone up to Brisbane and done only moderately well against Queensland. And they weren't shaping up too well. Well, we all know now they shaped up pretty well in the Tests. And the whole thing's full of great memories of superb batting, marvellous fielding, and Wes Hall's bowling. Gary Sobers, great all-rounder, and Canai, what a batsman he was then.
And on the opening day, the tempo of this series was established. The West Indies scored 5 for 365, including a masterly 132 from Sobers and a steady captain's innings of 65 from Worrell. Dropped four times, O'Neill made 181 out of Australia's 505, a lead of 52. The West Indies set Australia 233 to win in 5 hours, and when they crashed to 6 for 92, the cause seemed hopeless. Beno launched a counter-attack with Davidson, and they lifted the score within 7 runs of victory. Davidson was run out for 80 on Solomon's direct hit, leaving Beno to face Hall in the final over. Commentators Clive Harburg and Johnny Moyes then described the most amazing finish in Test cricket.
The last 6 balls bowled.
Hall back at his bowling mark. Moves in, bowls to Beno. Beno tries to hook him, and is out. Caught the edge and is caught behind by Alexander.
Gracious, man.
8 wickets for 228. Well, what a Test match. And here's Meckers coming out now. Can Australia win this Test match? 3 minutes of play left and about 6 balls to go.
On the other point, can Hall win it for the West Indies?
Crowd on their toes, the fieldsmen on their toes. The most unconcerned person on the Brisbane cricket ground, Wesley Hall, as he tosses the ball idly from hand to hand. Moves in, bowls to Meckers. Forward to it, drives it, ball across, gets a hand to it, takes the sting out of it, and the ball runs down to mid-off, fielded by Valentine. Ball now to Meckers. Moves in. On his leg stump. Tries to sweep it, and here's a stolen single, and he might be run out, and Hall misses the stump. The ball past the wicket, Sprout was down the wicket like a shot. Called Meckers. Meckers a little late starting off. Hall ran up. Gathered the ball, had a shot at the stumps. One by. Sundry's 14. Meckers has yet to score. Drought is 1. 8 for 229. Ball to Drought. And Drought skies him. Three of them, four of them getting under it. Canhai catches it and it's blocked. It's blocked. Hall and Canhai ran in for it. Four of them converged on the ball. Hall dropped it. Hall eventually got his hands to it, but Canhai came in and I'm sure he balked Hall in his efforts to catch that one. Australia acquiring 3 runs to win. And 3 balls to go. Ball steps in off the mark. Shirt trailing behind him. Bowls to Meckers. Meckers pulls him high into the outfield. 4 runs. No, it won't get to the fence. They're going for the three, though. Grout slides his bat behind the line. He's flying back, and he's out. Run out. Run out. Run out. Two runs only. Australia still requiring one run to win. Australia, 9 for 232, as Lindsay Klein comes out. The last man. Last man for Australia, two balls to go in this test match. All back at his bowling mark. He will bowl to Klein. And here's the single that wins the match for Australia. He's out! He's right out! Right out! It's up to pound down!
Well!
No, it's a tie, 232. Oh, and the excitement here. The crowd have jumped the fence. They're swarming over onto the middle of the pitch.
Wesley Hall's recollections of that over have passed into cricket folklore. His vivid description underlines Worrell's paternal influence.
As I told you, the over took 15 minutes. The captain called me. He said, "Vinci, I'm still watching you." He said, "But whatever you do now, do not bowl a bouncer to Richie Beno." I said, "Okay, Skipper, you just watch me." And I walked back, still very hurt at the shame, the scandal of dropping that catch. My teammates were telling me, "We always knew you can't even catch a cold." But as I walked back, I had other things in mind. I became very purposeful. I felt if I could only just get this man now, 4.5 million people in the West Indies would really come away. And since it was only 3:30 in the morning, that would have been a good achievement. So I turned, looked around, fingered my cross, prayed a little prayer, pulled at my trousers and took off. God was merciful because as I pounded the turf after bowling for 4 hours, I found that there was a little pep in my step and there was a little spring in my heels. So I said, "Hey, let's go, Beno." And I ran up, forgetting all that the captain had said, and bowled the fastest bouncer that I've ever bowled in my life. Beno, seemingly surprised, shaped for the hook, was too late. Alas, it took the glove, and there was Alexander triumphantly in the air, taking the catch and rolling over in great triumph. I swung round, my arms upraised, going towards my captain, hoping he will embrace me, but all I got was a stony silence and a wicked stare. So I said, "He's out, Skipper, he's out." He said, "What did I tell you?" I said, "He's out, he's out." And then the joke was no more. He said, "Do you really understand what would have happened had that ball taken the top edge and gone for 4 runs? For the first time in 12 minutes, I remembered that Australia needed 4 to win. So there again, in deep despair, a batsman out, but still no joy. As the new batsman came in to bat, Meckiff was his name. He took guard, a monumental rabbit. Surely he would not be able to stand the test of time as I moved in. But my spirit was broken. How could you expect a man to get a wicket and yet be admonished by his captain? And as I walked in meekly, I bowled just as meekly. I make it hit it just as sweetly to the main wicket boundary, seemingly. He ran one, he ran two, there ran three. The ball went right to the boundary, about a meter away. And there was Comrade Hunt, not giving up, chasing all the way, picking up the ball this meter from the boundary and throwing it with remarkable accuracy back to the wicketkeeper, who did not have to move a centimeter. He took the ball and stumped. And there was Grouse, sprawled out on the ground and 2 yards out of his crease. So another man was out, and Sir Frank Worrell came up to me and said, "You've got one ball to go." I said, "I know." He said, "And I'm watching you." And I said, "I know." And he said, "And what is more, the umpire is watching you too." So I do not understand what he was saying. So I said to him, "What are you saying?" He said, "Well, listen, one ball to go. And if you bowl a no ball, you will never be able to land in Barbados again." It was then that I saw the predicament I was in. And at that stage, Frank Worrell, as cunning as he is, called me over as I laid my way back. And he says, "I have nothing to tell you. But the problem is that batsman doesn't know that I have nothing to tell you." So, if I move the man at backwards curley 2 feet to the right, and then 2 feet to the left, he wouldn't know that I had nothing to tell you. So he did just that. There was Solomon, 2 feet to the right, and then 2 feet to the left. And I made my last lonesome trek back 40 yards away from the stumps. As I came in, gulping for air, I'm pressing through for the last ball. My feet planted some 3 yards behind the crease, just in case we had a benevolent Australian umpire. And so Klein turned the ball backward or square. It looked like an easy run. It was, really, until Solomon, little Joe Solomon, moved smartly to his left, picked up the ball, and lit just one stump to see, threw and hit it bullseye. The square-eyed umpire, an Australian, jumped 4 feet in the air and still gave him out. And Meckett was heard to say, as he returned rather disconcertingly to the pavilion, "Fancy losing like that." West Indian cricketers were sure they had not lost. 10 men were out, weren't they? But we didn't know if we had won either. So we all went off the cricket ground, umpires, players, those who were not playing, those who were out, and the extras and things, all gathered into one dressing room. We drank beer. We drank champagne. Dinner was summoned from the Lennon's Hotel. And we did not leave there until 10.